I'm Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to our part two with Donna Da Silva. As we ended last time, we were just getting ready to talk about Steve, your husband, yeah. and how he learned praying it forward in one of the most challenging times in Bethel's history.
Yeah.
Because as God was doing a new thing in the church, not everybody was ready to do it.
All right.
You know, ready to go along for that.
And that is part of the problem. When the Holy Spirit falls, you will either draw towards him trembling or you will run from him trembling.
Pretty much. There aren't any, the middle road is not available, really.
It's like, nope, you're going to go tremble one way or the other.
So Steve is the CFO of Bethel Church, and the numbers have dropped drastically and the bills have stayed very much the same. Right. And so Steve learned a process, and he teaches about this, but if you could explain it to us, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, he's retired now, but in that season when he had the same amount of bills and less than half the income, because it was the nice cars that left with the pastor, you know, so the more the money went.
Right.
You know, and then Bill comes and another half the church leaves. He jokes later that half of half is less than half. So it's like now a fourth is gone, you know, because it's already attrited down. But he was trying by the end of it to pay all of the bills with about 400 or less people. And most of us were, you know, pretty raw people, you know, because we were willing to let the Lord heal us. And so we were trying to pay bills. And he would be praying with Dave Runyon. He would pray weekly about the finances. And he and Dave would be in tears sometimes about payrolls coming up. And we have to pay our people. We can't pay our people. God, we need you to come through. Mm-hmm. And in all of that, the Lord started telling him, stop looking down and look up. And he's like, well, what does that mean? He says, look up and start sowing seed into the future. And so, you know, as a ranch boy, he tells a story of with his uncle got really sick, and it was time for them to do flood irrigation. And you don't miss that, or you get no water for your crops. And his uncle had a really bad earache and couldn't get up out of bed, and he was never sick. And Steve's, I don't know, maybe 12 years old, and he's helping with this, and all of a sudden it's like, I can't get up, Stevie, you got to do it. And so all of a sudden, this little 12-year-old has to go out and flood irrigate. And
which most farmers, like in Minnesota, we do not do that.
Okay, you don't flood irrigate.
No, we irrigate with big machines or big sprinklers, but there isn't flood irrigation. So.
Okay, but you would understand that?
Yeah, oh, with flood irrigation? Yeah, you have to open up channels.
Yeah.
But you have to open up channels and then close them again.
And
so this little 12-year-old kid is doing, that's
right.
big work.
He takes a shovel. He goes out in his uncle's pickup and he starts, you know, irrigating the fields.
Did he drive the pickup? Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
did.
My gosh.
Yeah, scary, huh?
That's scary.
And then he would have to close it back up. And the hardest part was closing it back up because the water is flooding through. Okay. So he would wait and he'd come in at lunch. How you doing? He'd tell him how far he got. And so as he goes through this, he says when he was done, it became his field. It wasn't just, I'm a hired hand. It's like, no, that's my field. And so then he remembers when it finally came up and it becomes purple blossoms. He said he's walking through it and it's up to his arms. And he's like, this is my field, right? And so what the Lord reminded him in that season is, you know, are you a hired hand or is it your field? And so he's like, okay, so if this is my field, what do I need to know? And the Lord's, I need you to look up and I need you to start praying in to the future what you need so that you're not always running around trying to dam up and release the water, but that you are praying in advance. Okay, so next week I need this seed, and the week after I need this building, and I need
to water at this time in this place. And then watering at the wrong time of year is horrible.
It's horrible.
So you want the water at the right time. You want to water correctly. You want to get the any weeds out. You want to take care of it and
right.
Yeah.
So the Lord told him start praying. He called it his 52s. So he would take the year and he would say, okay, this week we're going to need payroll. Next week we're going to, and he would pray each day for 52 weeks, for a year.
So they called it his 52s.
His 52s.
52 weeks. So each week he had a similar prayer.
Well, he had, every day he had a prayer, but similar, but it wasn't, he knew certain things like, okay, we need payroll every 2 weeks, missions trips, this are
Got
going out.
It. Okay.
These things are due. And he would pray about financial issues and other things, family. I mean, he started praying for our boys' wives when they were born.
Sure.
So he would put those in the 52, you know, but then the Lord tells him down the road, I want you to start praying for 50 years. So I want you to start praying for a year. What do you need in the second year, third year? And the Lord said to him, I want you to pray for the field to be full and you step into it, even though you won't be alive when the field comes to fullness.
Yeah. There's got a lot on that. Would you pray? For people who are listening, we're sitting here as a couple grandmas. We just talked about our grandchildren. Yeah. And we've been grandmas in the ministry because I've been in ministry about the same amount of time you have, and very different. I haven't done something like Sozo, but you know, we have Dare to Believe Ministries, and there's a time now where we're in a season of grandmothering in the natural, and I believe there's parallels in that we're grandmothering in the spiritual as well. And so as you share this as a grandmother at Bethel and as a grandmother in the faith, not just a mother, but you are a mother, and you are also a grandmother because you have the history. Mm-hmm. You have an authority to release that. Mm-hmm. So would you pray into people now, wherever you are, you have the authority to pray into the future for the kingdom, for your family, for your businesses, for your ministries, whatever God's put on their heart, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I do want to just say, you have been doing Sozo because you're one of our regional facilitators for a lot of years.
I have. It's been long.
It's been a great time, great relationship. Yes, it has. So we're all over the world, and you're one of the reasons why we are all over the world, right? Oh, because you're doing such a great work in your region to bring it. So,
thank you.
So, yeah, so as grandmas of the faith in this and seeing all the fun things, I look at what does it mean to pray forward? You know, when you're praying right now about your need, it's very frantic. It's like, for Steve, I need, you know, $100,000 tomorrow, or I need $100,000 by Friday. And we have this frantic thing that goes on. It's like that little hummingbird. Whew! But when you pray into the future, you're actually praying strategically, and the pressure is off. Isn't that interesting? It's like in our world today, you can pray, oh my gosh, I'm sending my grandbabies to school and they're teaching them that they can choose a boy or a girl. Oh my gosh, what do we do? Or we can look forward and we can say, okay, I'm praying for this, and I'm praying that the next generation won't have these situations in school. And you begin to pray, and it brings a peace inside, you know, because, you know, we talked the other day that God is actually not in a hurry.
And he's not worried.
And he's not worried. He does understand the end game. But we're worried, you know. And so it really, like when the Lord said, look up and pray from the position of looking up. Look into the future and sow seeds today into the future that other people water, that other people farm.
You know what just occurred to me is we get tricked, I think, by the enemy spiritually into doing sowing the wrong seeds. Because when we worry, we're like, this is going to happen in our country. This is going to happen in our kids. This is going to happen in our schools. And we are speaking it out and we are sowing seeds that are not the things we want to be sowing. So when we're tempted to do that, using Steve's strategy to pray it forward, like, okay, that's not what God wants, clearly. So this is what we will release over our kids, over our grandchildren, over our churches, over our ministries.
So glad you brought that up because, you know, the enemy is broadcasting all the time. We do that in Shifting Atmospheres. We talk about that. But he cannot create.
Correct. There's only one creator.
Right. And we can create with our words.
Yes.
Power of life and death is in the tongue.
We're created in his image.
In his image.
So we have that authority. Yeah,
so if
we do.
He can get Christians to speak what he's saying, then he gets to create.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And literally are sowing those things into not just our future, but we are sowing them into generations after us.
Yeah.
So grandmas, we need to stop that.
I can remember older ladies telling me with Timmy growing up, he was really tough. He's like, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's not going to be. You don't understand. And now I'm the grandma going, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, because he made it. He made it through. He's a great young man of God. Both my boys are awesome, Corey and Timmy. But Timmy was hard to raise. And I'd be like, you don't understand. He has learning problems and things
and
are happening.
And it was worth it because look at the amazing man he is.
He is such an amazing man. But it was the grandmas who would say, it's going to be okay because they had history of looking back and saying, I've seen this and our kids are okay. Your kids will be okay too.
And you know, as I have stepped into being a grandma, it really is a whole different thing. And I have to repent many times because I had a hard time saying I was a grandma. It like stuck in my throat the first grandchild. It's like, I'm you know, grandma. Like, wait, I don't want to own that. I don't want to be one of those women. I don't want to be that older woman. But the Lord is teaching me that this is a very important thing in the spiritual realm, to be the grandma. Because grandmas don't lose importance with people who understand anything. And Gary and I have been really intentional as we are grandparenting spiritually, to invite young adults who, not every young adult respects us. And some young adults are like, I just don't want to hear from that old lady. And that's fine. They don't have to. But there are a lot of young adults who are like, yeah, I want to know about you guys. We will just invite them to dinner, or we invite them to hang around and just be with us and ask questions, because we want to tell these stories, but only to people who want to hear them.
Yeah.
When I was a denominational pastor for many years, and when I left the denomination, it was very hard. But my prayer was, Lord, I don't even care. I really told the Lord, I don't care if I ever do ministry again. And I end up, that's my heart and that's my call. So I'm doing, been done ministry. But I said, I just want you. Mm-hmm. Take me where they want what I carry. Because I know I don't have to be everything to everybody, but take them where they want what I carry. And I found as a grandma, I'm doing that even more. So take me where they want what I carry, so I can release this into the next generation, and it can grow and it can have a good crop, right?
And we can encourage the next generation that it's going to be okay.
Yeah. And a lot of people who are of that generation are interested in us. I'm not going to say, oh, this generation's not interested in grandmas, because that is a lie.
Yeah.
Not all of them are.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are.
Not all of my generation were interested in me when I was, you know, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's always been the same thing. It's just a different version of it. And yet we are women now who carry an understanding of kingdom that we can release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird season for me at Bethel, because all of the young senior team now that are way younger, they're like, Donna's here. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was like,
Grandma's here.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's going to be okay. Grandma's here. And you know, I'm like, okay, but I'm loving it, but it's an awkward season for me.
It is hard to get used to. It is just hard to get, and I'm not saying I'm 100% there at all, because it's like, well, wait a minute, I don't want to be a grandma who doesn't have any importance, and the Lord works with me on that, because first of all, that's a lie that you'd ever be not important. He makes me important. He'll bring the people to me, but there's that feeling, because culturally, we have kind of discounted people that are grandma and grandpa. You know?
I grew up with my grandma and grandpa in our lives. Like, I can remember memories of being over at grandma and grandpa's house. And, you know, when I read Danny Silk's book about culture of honor, you know, I was like, wow, I think people earn respect, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's not how it works. You respect because they're respectable, right? And I'm like, oh. And I said, you know, I have to learn this. And he goes, well, Donna, you have such an honor towards the elderly. And I'm like, you know, I did. You know, I thought, oh, why was that? Well, it was because my grandparents were powerful but also frail. Do you know what I mean? It was like there was that sense of they knew stuff, but my grandmother had rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, and so there was a sense of frailty. And so I instantly, in just having multi-generationally experience with my family, I realized, oh, you treat the elderly differently than you do, you know, your friends that you bounce around. Right. And, you know, and, so I think that there is a rising up in our nation and in the world of people that are looking at us and saying, oh, they're powerful and maybe a little bit frailer in some places, like for me, my knee surgery and everything. But there's an honor coming to the elderly that has been gone, because we are missing that multi-generational flow.
It causes us all to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And even back to the ranching and the farming analogy, you don't want to get rid of the, like in a vineyard, the old vines are the best vines. You want those grapes. That makes the best wine, but you don't stop planting new vines either. So, you know, the Lord's doing a good thing. Well, would you pray over our listeners? Because I just feel the Lord on this. I can tell you are, because
my arm's going up.
I feel his presence. Mm-hmm. I know that can be released through video.
I think what I wanted to say with that in the prayer is, you know, you were talking about the seed that we've planted sometimes is not right. And I think the first thing I'd like us to do is to ask the Lord to repent for the seed we've planted that is not right, and to have him burn it up.
Oh, yeah. That's
good. So let's just do this. If you're listening,
I'll do it with you.
Yeah, do it with us. Let's just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I repent.
I repent.
For any ungodly seed.
For any ungodly seed.
That I have sown.
That I have sown.
And have given life to.
And have given life to.
And I ask you, Papa.
And I ask you, Papa.
By your Holy Spirit.
By your Holy Spirit.
To burn up that seed.
To burn up that seed.
Remove the harvest of that seed.
Remove the harvest of that seed.
And right now.
And right now.
Through my repentance.
Through my repentance.
And your forgiveness.
And your forgiveness.
We plant new seed in that soil.
We plant new seed in that soil.
And we release it to the generations.
And we release it to the generations.
And then take some time right now. And just, even if you want to pause, just take some time to plant the seed that you know you're supposed to, we plant into the future that your children's children will benefit from what you're planting right now from your words, that we just speak hope over the world. We speak Christ into the nations. We speak protection of children and women and, you know, all of this stuff going on. And we speak gender identity that comes from God, right? And we just speak it. Just begin speaking those things. Take time, pause if you need to, and just take some time to speak what He's telling you to speak. And then bless that seed.
Mm-hmm. I bless that seed to grow. Yeah, that, and who I know my children are, who I know my grandchildren are, who yep. I know my spiritual children are, who I know my spiritual grandchildren are, and what I know for our city, what I know for our nation, what I know for our world. Those things that I know God wants to do, to speak those mm-hmm. out. Yeah.
And, you know, I was reading in Sermon on the Mount, and blessed are those who mourn, right? And I thought, oh, see, I've taken the bait of the enemy and I've been angry at the nation. But the Lord's like, you need to pray from a place of mourning, not from a place of sobbing, not from a place of, oh, no, but from a place of, oh, God, I repent that this nation is sowing seeds of sexual confusion. Rather than, God, you know, I'm against this very thing and we're, you know, it's like, no. There's a mourning of, and I remember for years I've been like, God, I am so sorry, Jesus, that the world will choose any answer but you. Any answer but you. They'll try all kinds of weird stuff but you. And that would make me mourn. It's like, oh, it just grieves my heart. And so to pray from a place of not of anger and frustration, but of mourning, but not like, no, that's not it either. It's a sense of,
I'm sorry, Lord.
I'm sorry, yeah. Lord, that the world, and even myself sometimes, I take the bait. And the words I sow sometimes are the wrong words because I'm like, I can't believe the nation is this. Oh, I'm giving life to that.
Right.
Where it's like, Lord, it breaks my heart and I know it must be breaking yours. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that there would be a spirit release that would just come as the Father over the waters. And just from that place
cover
we pray.
Over it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and praying in the Spirit is the best
prayer.
Yeah. Because if you don't know how to pray, just pray in the Spirit. But as you're thinking, I had a wonderful experience with a woman who came to me. And she's got three little children. And one of the dreams on Dare to Believe Ministries is to have a coffee shop. And you've tasted our coffee. We have good coffee and we have a latte machine. We just need the location. and our vision is to be a place where people can come and encounter good things of God without even having the label as a Christian coffee shop. We like to interpret dreams. It'd be just a nice place for people to be and be encouraged. And it's taken, we thought we'd be there by now and we're not there yet. And we keep keep sowing into it, you know, in the Spirit, and it's just not physically here yet, but we're making steps in that direction. And this young woman came to me and said, you know, I was praying in the Spirit. And as I was praying, what was on my mind was you in the coffee shop and the dream for the coffee shop. And as she was praying, she had her kids there. One's a baby, one's, I don't know, she's about five or so, and she's coloring, and her older brother was doing something else, but the little girl coloring, she's just coloring. And as they're praying, she goes, Mommy, will you write coffee shop? And she said, my daughter has never talked about a coffee shop, but she asked her to write coffee shop on what she was drawing. And so when you are praying in the spirit, that mother yeah. was not just watering our coffee shop, which right. is I'm very grateful for, but her daughter
right.
was getting watered and something of the spirit was going into her daughter as she was just praying mm-hmm. in the spirit and didn't know that she was doing it. So
wow.
yeah, if you have that gift, that's a beautiful gift. And we can even talk more about that.
Yeah.
But what I would love to do before we finish off is have you just finish off praying just a blessing over people. Mm-hmm. However, there is this talk about you talked about sometimes I take the bait mm-hmm. and I fox, mm-hmm. box. You talk about boxing.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about that because, you know, I was mentored by John Paul Jackson. He taught a lot about ministering from the third heaven mm-hmm. and similar thing. And you teach a similar thing and it's so important, but it's a very difficult concept to teach and help people understand. You don't have to go and fight mm-hmm. right there. It almost wears mm-hmm. us down unnecessarily. It's a strategy yeah. Yeah. against us. Yet we feel like we're doing more, and so we can get stuck in that cycle. So maybe next time we'll talk about that, if that's yeah. okay with you.
No, that sounds great.
Okay, so would you bless our listeners?
Yep.
And then...
Yep. So, Lord, I just bless the listeners to pray from the right location, the third heaven realm where we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, to not pray frantic prayers of fear or even taking the bait and arguing with the enemy, but that we would release the power of life in our prayers, that the seed that go into would be good seed into the good soil. And oh, I thank you, Lord, that you will water and generations will follow us and water as well. And Lord, let us water correctly the good seed of the generations before us, that, you know, that crowd of witnesses that are cheering us on, Lord. And we just partner with your plan for the world in our prayers.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I've been talking with Donna Da Silva of Da Silva Ministries from Bethel Church in Reading and
yep.
the Sozo Lady.
The Sozo World.
So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I bless you all. And if you want to find out more about Donna, you can...
DonnaDaSilva.com.
DonnaDaSilva.com.
Yeah.
And it's capital D-E, capital S-I-L-V-A. So Donna, D-A-W-N-A. Yeah. It's not D-O-N-N-A. It's D-A-W-N-A. DeSilva.com. Mm-hmm. And again, you can find us at Dare to Believe Ministries, DTBMN.org. And please find us on Facebook, on all the podcast channels, and please like us and share us. Blessings. Mm-hmm.